Very good evening, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you know, all fellowship groups are for all of God's people, and so this is your fellowship group. It is not the church. You are the church. So I hope that you will make this your home, and you will share the blessings with other adults as well. As I was teaching the book of Deuteronomy in Kenya last year, I realized that there is one particular chapter in the book of Deuteronomy that is specifically directed to adults. And with this burden in my heart, and knowing that the church is about to start a new ministry, especially for the adults, so I counter-proposed to the committee to speak from this instead of their assigned six messages, which will be focused on fellowship. And so I told them to use those six messages subsequently later on, but to begin this focusing on the role and the function of adults in the church. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is a book basically written by God through Moses to prepare a very, very difficult nation or people of Israel who will soon become a nation. They were on the brink of crossing the River Jordan to conquer the rest of the promised land. It was a difficult time. Difficult because the adult generation, 20 years and upwards, that came out with Moses out of the land of bondage, which was Egypt, have all died. And 40 years in the wilderness resulted in a new generation of a lot of young people who had never experienced the difficulty of what it was like for the people of Israel to experience 430 years of slavery. They have not witnessed the 10 plagues. They have not seen the spectacular miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea, how God dealt with Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and how God was so much greater and more powerful than Pharaoh and the Egyptian charioteers and army. They had none of these experiences. To them, when they came into this world, Israel was in the wilderness, and they experienced the miracle of the manna, of course, where their garments and their sandals did not wear out. Of course, they experienced that. But the battle and the enemies, they had not experienced, except the battle against the two and a half tribes are now dwelling in, which was on the Transjordan side of the River Jordan. And so Moses had to remind or perhaps teach and educate the adults that you have a very awesome and great responsibility because of your time on earth. Remember, God is in control of your life and my life on earth. If you and I were God, you and I would probably save us and bring us home immediately. Bring every child of God home immediately after salvation. Why allow them to remain on earth for so many years and to put them in harm's way, where they could stumble and fall into sin, where they could succumb to the temptations of Satan, where God knows that in the last of the last days, He will give more and more power to Satan so that the world will fall into his hands, where the one world church with the Antichrist and the false prophet will become a reality. And that means there will be fewer and fewer believers on earth in the last of the last days. And He allow you and me to remain behind in these last days. There must be a purpose. And the purpose cannot be just aimless existence. Enjoy life on this earth before God destroy this earth. I don't think that is the reason. It has to be spiritual. And when you look at our church, you realize that our church is very similar to the nation of Israel in terms of the age spectrum. You have the very young, and then you have the older, younger ones, those who are in the teens, and then you have the youths, and then you have the young adults. Now, there are quite a large number of them by God's grace, and we thank God for all of them because that is a reflection of the healthy church when you have a very large spectrum. When a church is made up of old people, blank, young children, it is a church that is about to die. Because when this older generation dies off, there'll be no more grandpa and grandma to bring the grandchildren. The sons and daughters are not interested in Christ. And that was the church that we attended when we were in America 30 years ago. And so when we were there after a couple of weeks, we asked the members, where are your sons and your daughters? And they said that they are not interested in Christianity. But then what about your grandchildren? Well, they want a Sunday off. And so they allow us to bring their grandchildren. But then I also asked them, of course, the obvious. Who will bring them after you guys are no longer on this earth? This church will die. Those were their words. And so about a year ago, I surfed the net. And I Google and check what happened to this church. This church is now owned by Grace Theological Seminary. That's what the name of this new church has become. It used to be called, if I remember correctly, First Presbyterian Church or something of Winona Lake. Right next to the seminary. This very nice old building or cathedral. But it's now owned by Grace Theological Seminary. That means the church is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. But thank God that in our church, we have a lot of young people. And many of these young people, they do not know the battles that this church had to endure. The founding of the church and the battles that we had to fight in order for the church to become what it is today. And Moses understood that many of those who were younger, they were not aware of the battles that they had to fight in Egypt. They did not know what the battle was that resulted in the 40 years of wilderness wandering, because they were not born yet. But this generation remembered. Now, 20 years and above all perished except for Joshua and Caleb. Moses will soon be taken home as well. He won't be crossing the River Jordan with them. So these will be the final words of a grand, old, faithful servant of the Lord to the younger generation before his passing. And now he is going to address the adults. Of course, the adults to him would be like children. Right? I mean, 19 years and below, their lives were spared. 20 years and above, their lives were taken. Now you add 40. That means the oldest person who were there, excluding Joshua and Caleb, and of course, Grandpa Moses, who was 120. 19 plus 40, what would that give us? 59. Right? That would be the ceiling. Because the rest of them were all born in the wilderness. So if you are 23, you have no idea what happened in Egypt. You have no idea the battle that they had to fight. You have no idea what happened to those 12 spies who went in, and then 10 of them came back and said, we cannot go in, we are like grasshoppers, they are like giants. They had no knowledge of all these things. But the one who is 49, 45, 46, 48, they knew. And many of them who died were their own parents, their uncles, their friends. And they were children then. But that older generation died. Now, how are these younger ones going to know all these things if the adults will not share with them not just the battles that they had to fight, but the power of God that they had witnessed to prepare this younger generation so that when they enter the promised land, not only should they conquer it, but to remain in the land for as long as possible with a spiritual purpose that no other nation have been given, same for us today. This is not a club. This is not a community center. We are not here together because we are all fellow Singaporeans. We are all of the same kind of educational level or strata of society. None of these things must be the basis for us coming together other than Jesus Christ. And because we are Christians, we have a spiritual purpose. And that spiritual purpose must not die with the older generation. The spiritual purpose must be passed on to the younger generation so that they will realize and understand. Perhaps they may not have to experience it because they can't, they were not born yet. But they must know the battles that have been fought in order for them to enjoy the kind of blessings that they have right now in the church. They must not take it for granted. What is some of the problems that Singapore leaders are facing today? A younger generation that had no idea what it was like when our first Prime Minister, Mr. Lee Kuan Yew, came out with tears in his eyes after he was ousted from Malaysia to start a nation with absolutely nearly nothing. Remember? People my generation. You see? Many of you don't even know that, right? Unless you saw some of these old video clips. How painful and how difficult. And then very soon after that, the ANZUS forces all left and we had no army. And nobody wants to train our young men to form an army. And so, the only people who were willing to help us, the Israelites. The Jews. But the Jews didn't want to help us because the Jews wanted a condition. You need to recognize us because nobody wants to recognize the nation of Israel. That means no fraternal relationship from nation to nation. And so the condition, you let us have an embassy in Singapore. The Singapore government said, too soon. We will let you have an office but no embassy. Until later. Now I think they have an embassy. And so, but how can we allow our nation to have soldiers trained by Jews surrounded by so many Muslims, right? So let's call them Mexicans. And so now we have Mexicans training our men, and some of our church members were the first to go in there. And they were trained by these Mexican Jews. You know Brother Kyongte? He was one of the first batches of NS men to go in there to be trained by Mexican Jews. Of course, they are Jews, are not Mexicans. Now, I knew this because of the biography of Mr. Lee Kuan Yew. He wrote all these things there. Why did he do that? Because to let our people know, hopefully, our young people will read. Now, you're not going to write a book, are you? To leave behind for your sons and daughters. You're not going to write a book, so now you're still alive. Don't need to write a book. Let your life, let what you have experienced, what you have seen, what you have witnessed, be the things that you're going to pass on to the younger generation. Now, we all come from many different backgrounds and different churches. I know that. Because I'm not from BP. I was from another church. It was through the Sunset Gospel Hour that I came to know about what true, genuine, earnestly contending for the faith Christianity was like. And my heart was captured by this. And then when my church turned and got from bad to worse, when charismatics infiltrated, and then now Roman Catholicism has become part of the makeup of my previous church. It breaks my heart because some of my friends and my relatives are still inside there. They're not coming out. Do you know that many of our own young people who have never had that kind of experience, all they have is just one church, and this has been their church experience. You know how easy it is for them to just simply take for granted what they have been enjoying. And for people like myself who were outside, and then you come in, they don't realize how privileged it is for them not to have tasted that kind of dangerous teaching that could ruin your life and ruin your heart and ruin your mind. And then to come in here to know what is right teaching. When you have been eating right food, clean food, you don't know how good and blessing and how privileged it is to be eating clean food until you've been eating unhygienic, dirty food. And then you realize that is our problem, and that is the problem that you must realize with our young people. And so Moses in Deuteronomy 11 addressed the adults, as you can see in verse 2. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children. You see, I'm not talking to the younger ones, which have not known and which have not seen. See, they have not known. So I'm not addressing the young ones, I'm addressing you guys. And so this whole chapter is targeted by God through Moses, only one particular group, the older ones. And that means the adults. That means you. That means me. And this would be the counsel and the advice from God. Not to the children who have not known, who have not seen. That means what you have known, experienced, and what you have seen will going to be the focus. And so you think back of your life as a Christian. What you have seen and what you have witnessed, not only in this church, but also in your other churches that you have experienced, the difficulties and the struggles that caused you to leave and to come. Share with others. Don't just leave it in your heart and just die with you. Tell people how good and how wonderful God is. Share with them. And that's exactly what this whole chapter is going to be. And I hope that you will take heart and realize the great honor and privilege that God has bestowed upon you by not just simply saving you and then bring you home, but to let you remain on earth with health and with a good mind and with your faith. Don't just let it die with you. There is a responsibility that comes with being an adult. And so it begins with a charge. And that's what we're going to focus on, the charge to all the adults. Chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgment and his commandments always. That's the charge. You make sure you guard your relationship with God. If you don't guard your relationship with God, everything else will fall into pieces. All your sharing and your testimony will be meaningless if in the present right now you're not close to the Lord. You have to be close to the Lord right now in the present. If you have been faithful and fighting God's battle in the past, very good. You have a lot to share. But when they look at you, but you are not walking close to the Lord today, right now, what is the point? What is the point of sharing past glory when today you are a casualty and you are a victim of the temptations of the world? Isn't that true? So the charge, firstly and foremost, before you even begin to share and tell people what God had done in your life in the past and what you have witnessed, how God has dealt with the enemies of God's people in the world that you have been experiencing from the moment you were born again. I do not know your past. I do not know what your journey was like from the day you were born again to right now. But you know God knows, and that is all that matters. And because God knows, you have much to share. You have a story to tell. The battles and the struggles that you have witnessed and seen. But in order to do that, you must remember verse 1. You got to guard your heart. And how to guard it? You shall love the Lord your God, and you must never stop loving the Lord your God. Your love for the Lord, Jehovah Elohim. That's what it means. The Lord your God. Jehovah Elohim, your covenantal God. That means it speaks of a personal relationship that you must have. That means salvation, Jesus Christ. Now you and I know that not all the adults in Israel, in the nation of Israel, were believers. And so he was addressing to those who were believers. And I hope all of us here are believers, because we don't have the kind of number like in Israel, a nation. They have thousands upon thousands of adults because they have thousands and thousands of young people. If you looked at the second numbering in the book of Numbers, early chapters, the first numbering, 603,550, all of them perish, minus two. And then secondly, they numbered again, slightly lower, slightly smaller in number, also 600 plus thousand. Also 20 years and upward. So, it was a new generation of young people. But what they need to see and witness in the lives of the older ones is your love for Jehovah God. Your love for the Lord has to be vibrant. Because if your love for the Lord is worldly and carnal, and then you share with them how earnestly you contended for the faith in your previous church or in the past, but then when they look at your present life, it is covered and soaked in the things of the world and nothing spiritual could be seen, then you will become a stumbling block and not a blessing. And God does not want you to be a stumbling block, especially as an adult, because the damage that you can do is tremendous. And so you have to guard your walk with the Lord to make sure you guard your heart. To love the Lord your God, what does it mean to love the Lord your God? It means to keep His charge, His statutes, His judgment, His commandments. That means His word. Same as what Jesus told the disciples, you love me, you keep my commandments. You don't say you love me and you don't bother about God's word. God's love and relationship with us is not just a warm feeling in our heart. Of course, love includes feelings. But it is not just a feeling without commitment. And the commitment comes with knowledge. And knowledge means the word of God. And that's why they go hand in hand. You love the Lord your God. How? By keeping God's charge. That means what God is now giving you right now. Okay, that's exactly what God is saying. You look at the last verse of Deuteronomy 11. And ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. That is the conclusion. That's the charge. Please do it. Please do, because you are now the adults. If you fail, the whole nation will fail, because these young people, they are waiting for your leadership. It is a very sad thing if they now take over and lead the adults. And sometimes when you look at churches, you're going to find that the young people are the ones who are leading the adults. And that is a very sad, poor reflection of the spirituality of the adults in the church. Because it's not supposed to be like that. When you go into a church and you see that the vibrancy of the church are all in the young people, they are doing all the leading and so on. They don't have your experience. They are too young to lead. They are not ready. You don't put babes into the battlefield. They're going to be casualties. They're going to be hurt. They're going to be injured. You have to rise and you have to do it simply because certain things cannot be learned in school because it takes time, experience. They may have the head knowledge. They may have all the schooling and so on. They may go to FEBC and have all the head knowledge. But when they don't have experience, what they have is theory. That is not enough to lead in the spiritual battles that we have to fight ahead of us. They're going to succumb, they're going to be casualties. And when they are leaders and they become casualties, you rest assured the church will fall. Why do you think you look at churches that have what they call contemporary worship service? To pander to the young people. Why would they do that? To pander to the young people, because the young people say, if you don't let us have this kind of CCM worship with the band, the drum, and all this loud music, we're going to leave the church. Now that churches like this are letting the young people, threatening them, they're going to leave the church? What do you think the church is? This is not my church. This is God's church. This is made of God's people. Our basis is CCM biblical? If it's not biblical, you want to leave, you carry on. You are not leaving the church, you are leaving God. You don't pander to all these wrong things. But many churches have already done it, and they are dying because of it. Because you find them in practically every church that once upon a time they used to be strong and sound, especially churches that have hundreds of years of history. I'm talking about churches like the Methodist, the Presbyterian, and many of these Baptist churches that have a long history as far back as the 16th century Reformation. And they have succumbed. Not just here. It's all over the world. It is a problem that is global. And that made it even more dangerous and potent. The adults have to lead. And to lead, you have to be close to the Lord. And in order for you to be close to the Lord, you have to guard your heart. And to guard your heart means you have to be obedient to God's word, which means you have to know God's word. You have to know God's word. There is no alternative. Any substitute for the word of God in helping you make decision, it's a poor substitute. You think there's anything on this earth that is better than God's word in terms of wisdom? Then you replace God's word. You think there's anyone on earth, including angelic beings, who can be wiser than God? I'm sure there is no one. Because once you know the word of God, do you realize that you will have the mind of Christ? And Christ is God. That means you have the mind of God. You begin to think like God. Therefore, you will act like God. And therefore, you will witness and counsel the younger ones as if this is literally God's counsel. And that kind of wisdom our young people need. And with the experiences that you have gone through, plus the wisdom that you have from the Lord, and with the love for the Lord that you have in your heart, you know how wonderful and how a blessing you can be. You imagine that. First to your own family, to your children, and to the bigger family, the church, the younger ones. Many of them are just struggling in life. They do not know what to do. They panic because, as you can see, inflation is taking the world by storm. Houses and cars and many of the things that you are driving, you are owning, they don't have. And they want to have. And the problem is this the right thing to want to have these things? They do not know because they see you having it and you do not explain to them and tell them that these are not the things that we aim for. They are just simply blessings from the Lord that God has given to us with a responsibility. And the responsibility is to use it for His glory. We don't aim for them. We only use them for the betterment of our service and our ministry for the Lord. And that's it. They do not know all these things. They think that life is made up of or consists of the things that we own and enjoy. Isn't that the definition of what life and good living is from the world? But you and I, you have experienced enough, and I hope by now you know that a person's life does not consist of what he owns. They don't, you should know. And I hope you do know right now, as adults. Guard your heart. And the last word in verse 1 is always. You see that? Not sometimes, not when you feel like it. You see that? Always. Love the Lord, obey His word, all the time. And you know His word is commandments, judgments, how God make decisions, judgments, how God deal with problems and issues, judgments, commandments, obey them, the do's and the don'ts, His statutes, many of the statutes such as how to keep yourself clean, how to keep yourself spiritually pure. All these are the statutes. And then of course the charge, the responsibilities. Know them, embrace them, and then lift them out. Guard your heart. And then the next charge, your witness. And the witness are basically divided into two kinds. Verse 3 and verse 4, the witness of how God deals with enemies on the outside. Verse 5 and verse 6, your witness, your experience on how God deals with enemies that are within. True? That's basically what it is. Know ye this day, I speak not to your children, and which have not known, which have not seen. Now watch, the chastisement of the Lord your God, His greatness, His mighty hand, and His stretched out arm. So your witness, when you see how God dealt with people externally, the enemies who try to hinder God's work, and how God will deal with people when they have crept into the churches internally. You will see His greatness. You will see His powerful hand, His strong hand, and you're going to see His stretch out arm that He can reach as far as God desires. Nothing can stop Him as long as God wants His will and His work to be accomplished. No power on earth can prevent Him. Example, His miracles, His acts which He did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh and the king of Egypt and unto his land. And what He did unto the army of Egypt, unto His horses, and to their chariots, and how He made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you. And how the Lord had destroyed them unto this day. The enemies from the outside, that means when Pharaoh refused to let Israel go, God used His power and His mighty hand to devastate the nation of Egypt, which was at the height of her military might and power at that time. And the news of the devastation continued to spread far and wide, and it remained so much so that 40 years later, when Joshua sent the two spies, Rahab, when she rehearsed and shared with the two spies, they still could remember the power of God and what He did to Egypt. The greatness of God's power in Israel. Do you know that the BP movement came about because of earnestly contending for the faith? When Reverend Toh came back from Faith Theological Seminary with a theological degree to pastor the church that was a Presbyterian church looking after the English congregation. And while he was there, he learned about the International Council of Christian Churches and the dangers and pitfalls of the World Council of Churches. And when the local, that is the Singapore Presbyterian Synod, wanted to join the World Council of Churches, he and some of the leaders in his time, and one of them was, or is, Reverend Kwek Kyok Chiang. He was an elder then. He had no theological training, but he worked together with Reverend Toh, and Reverend Toh, with his theological training, was the obvious spiritual leader. And so they fought. They went to the church in Moa. And they fought over a few sessions, and they lost. They realized that they could not, and that's how they came out. And then they started the BP movement in Singapore. The name that was similar to the BP churches and movement in America, where their seminary that would train their pastors was none other than Faith Theological Seminary. We have no link with them other than a historical link. They did not give any financial aid or anything. It was just a historical link because Reverend Toh went there and he imbibed their teaching and he came back, held on to the same teaching, and he founded the BP movement. This movement was founded based upon earnestly contending for the faith. They had nothing when they came out other than the people of the same heart, the same mind, the same goal, and the same love for the Lord and for God's truth. That was the beginning. And God seen them through the many enemies out there who tried to undermine and attack. Calvary Pandan was one of the fruits. Reverend Toh and Dr. Toh were of very different character, as you can see. And both of them are born leaders. Reverend Toh is, we serve the Lord on a day-to-day basis. We don't plan too far, that kind of thing. Whereas Dr. Toh's style is plan. And so when both of them are together, both of them with that kind of leadership qualities, it's very hard to work together. I know I can't work together with Dr. Jeffrey Koo and Reverend Das, not in the same church. We are too different. His style, my style, we are different. If we are together, we are going to fight. We're going to quarrel all the time. So it is best, he is a pastor of another church, I'm a pastor of another church, and then we help one another. Same in doctrine, but different in manner of working. So Reverend Toh and Dr. Toh were like that. And so one day when the Lord burdened Reverend Dr. Toh's heart to start a church in this part of Singapore, and that's how Calvary ended in up in Jurong. And then when the Lord opened the door in Pandan, so we had another property, and that's how this church came into being. But very soon in the 1970s and 80s, the BP churches started to be infiltrated by some of their own pastors who were not trained in FEBC, who graduated from foreign seminaries and Bible colleges with different doctrines, and the differences in doctrines became the division that resulted in the death of the synod of the BP movement, which was the synod of the church of the BP movement of Singapore. It was dissolved in 1988. Problem? Some of these leaders believe that tongues exist. They see the charismatic movement as a work of God. We don't. Reverend Toh, Dr. Toh did not. And these are the pastors who also believe in infiltration rather than separation. They will accept invitation by these World Council of Churches members to speak in their churches on issues such as gospel and other cultural issues and so on. And there were no resolution. And because of that, there was a dissolution. And so every BP church became independent. Now, so these are some of the battles that were outside of Calvary Pandan. Although we were interrelated, but every church was autonomous. And so they fought outside and God kept the church pure. By God's grace and God's mercy. We all have experiences that are outside of this church to share of God's hand. I could share with you what my experiences were like in my previous church. If not for the Sunset Gospel Hour, I would probably still be in my previous church. Because in the morning, I will never come to this church. I have my own church to attend. You do not know how great a window, a blessing the Sunset Gospel Hour is to many Christians out there. People like myself. I had a hunger for God's Word. I had a hunger for God's Word that could not be satisfied. I was going everywhere to look for churches to attend in the evening. One morning service, not enough. If there were afternoon, I would go. And in those days, there were no internet. So I would go through the newspaper to look for churches to attend. I could not find any. Until I met a member of the BP church in university, and then I was introduced to the Sunset Gospel Hour very soon after it was founded, and then every evening I would come and attend, longing and looking forward to it. Can't wait for 6 p.m. to come so that I can attend the sunset. Because the learning and the teachings that I received were like fresh water that I could not find anywhere else. not in my church. And so whatever I learn, I share back home, and that's how I got my problems in my previous church. I kena from them a whole lot. But I learned. And the experiences were invaluable. And then, little by little, the Lord brought us to this church by His grace and His mercy. And so, once I'm inside, having tasted what it was like on the outside for 7 years, I still remember what it's like. I don't think I will ever forget what it was like in that previous church. 7 years, when I was 23 till I was 30 years old, before I came over. 7 years. And that's why I appreciate what I learned from this church. And by the grace and mercies of God, I will do whatever it takes to make sure that what I have benefited and learned will not be destroyed, but to let it be a blessing to many others who were like myself, outside there, who never had the truth, never had proper teaching, thinking that all was well with my soul, when actually I was sick, and I didn't even know it. And that is the worst condition to have, to be sick and not to be aware. Because when you are sick and you're not aware, you won't want to see a doctor. And it was like that for 7 years. And the little bit of Sunday school that I had in those days, I thought that was it. And I thought I had the truth. Until I went to FEBC, most of what I thought I learned was right had to be unlearned. So many doctrines had to be unlearned through FEBC. That's why I'm so grateful and thankful to the Lord for calling Reverend Toh to found FEBC. You know how terrible it is not to have the right doctrine, the right truth, and then you live your life sincerely, believing that it was right when in fact it was all wrong, and you were hindering God's work when you thought that you were doing God's work. That's why I'm so thankful and grateful to FEBC. That's why I cannot hold it in my heart but to share and tell people, because you have been liberated and you now know the truth, and you cannot just keep it and hold it and not share with other people, because you don't want people to live a life that God has delivered you out of, which you lived for 7 years in the previous church. And I know what's it like. And it's not a nice thing to have that kind of life, because you and I know that life is precious. Every day is precious, because every day that is wasted, that is lived wrongly, is a day gone forever. The day won't come back. And you are adults. You and I have made enough mistakes, isn't it? You and I can count the number of days or months or years that mine was seven. 7 long years. Yours, I do not know. But we have this to tell our young people, because many of them do not realize and do not understand all these things. They just enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. They think that what they have here is like, every church out there is like that. They think every church out there is like Pandan. Unless you are posted overseas, and then you are a teenager, and then you attend some of these churches, then you realize the difference. And if they are not taught properly, and they find that the difference is very delicious, and they started to embrace CCM and all these new evangelical churches, you can say bye-bye to your children. When they come back to Singapore, if they ever do, they're not going to come back here. They're going to go somewhere, and it's going to be all these contemporary churches with all their dancing and their music, and you're in trouble. And you and I know that if that ever happens, we cannot say that we are guiltless. That's why God wanted the adults. You tell your congregation, you tell your generation of young people what happened in Egypt. Please tell them. Tell them about the greatness and the power of God, what God did to the Egyptians, to Pharaoh. Because in the days ahead, this generation is going to face nations when they conquer the land of promise. There will be big armies, walled up cities. You remember what God did. Tell them. They have no experience. But if the adults were to tell them and encourage them, they will be strengthened in their soul to know that God is great. God can do it. He has done it in the past. These people didn't know. Remember, they only have 5 books by this time, or 5.5 books, because Deuteronomy not fully completed yet. We have 66 books of the Bible to help us. The witness that you have seen outside. But more importantly, you find from verse 5 and verse 6, the experiences of the witness within your own soul. And what he did unto you, right? The other one is what he did unto the Egyptians. But verse 5 is what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place. That means your personal experiences with the Lord, how the Lord took care of all your physical needs. Your shoes, you didn't have to buy new ones because there were no shopping centers. Imagine wearing a pair of sandals for 40 long years. Of course, ladies may not like it because no fashion. You see the same one. Wow. 40 years? Oh, I mean, what kind of fashion? 20 years? But then fashion, you know, always come in one big circle, isn't it? Right? Especially for the men. The men now is this kind of tie, and then later on will be narrow tie, and then 10 years later, the fat tie again, then narrow tie, because that's all you can do, a fat, narrow. I mean, for men, what else can you do, right? Isn't it? Maybe one day they're going to design a tie, and then on top of it, instead of this, you have a bow tie. So bow tie and tie together. Huh? What do you think? Maybe I'll be a garment designer. So they have the same sandals, same garments, no clothes. They don't have to buy new clothes, no need to change clothes. This was their personal experience. Of course, the manna. They have experienced the goodness and the mercies of God because these were alive. But you watch verse 6. The personal experience included the punishment upon Israel. Verse 3 and verse 4 talks about the punishment, the greatness of God against the enemies of Israel. But when Israel, God's people, rebelled and sinned, God punished them very severely. What did Dathan and Abiram? Now, Dathan and Abiram, what they did is recorded in Numbers 16. They were Levites, and they had men of renown, famous elders, lay leaders within their own gang. And then they challenged the leadership of Moses and Aaron and said that we also have the Spirit of God with us. Why must you be the leader? Why must Aaron be the priest? Why can't we be priests? And so they challenged. And so God, remember, asked for each of the tribes, you bring your representative, each of you carry a rod, and the only rod that budded was Aaron's rod. And that rod that budded was placed inside the Ark of the Covenant together with the Ten Commandments, together with the bottle of manna to remind Israel, you don't touch the Aaronic priesthood whom I have chosen because they are the mediators of God's people. No one has the right to choose the mediators between God and man other than God himself. You have no right to choose the mediators because that's what they wanted to do. We are talking about representatives of God on earth that will be accepted by God to receive the offerings of God's people. You want to choose these people? God says you can't choose priests because priests are holy people. You are not holy. How can you choose holy people? God says, I am holy. I will choose my people whom I believe will be holy people to represent me on earth to receive your offerings. And they're going to kill your clean animals on your behalf. When you come to worship the Lord, I will choose. But these Dathan and Abiram and their gang of renowned, famous lay leaders and with the nation behind them, they challenge. And what happened to them? The sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben, and how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their households and their tents and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. Complete, total annihilation of their existence. In other words, their wives, children, everything gone, including all their belongings, the earth opened up, they went down alive, and then the earth just closed up as if they never existed. So you have enemies from outside, you share. Enemies from within, you also share. This church of ours had gone through a lot of battles. Some of you may not be aware of it. But we used to have a group of young adults led by a couple of deacons who became very Pharisaical. You know what are Pharisees? They began to make the externals as the basis to decide and determine one another's salvation. They dare to tell people that if you break 3 of the 10 commandments, you lose your salvation. They became so rigid and so strict that their YAF meeting became the meeting above all other meetings. That if you were to attend your sister, your brother's wedding night dinner for that one meeting, even though you may have attended all the meetings throughout the year, they will chastise you and they will publicly humiliate you. And on top of that, they became very, very legalistic. In so many areas of their life, they think they're more holy than everyone in the church. And when the leaders, the BOE, took them to task, they packed everybody up and then they left the church. So there was a brief moment in our history where we did not have one single YAF because the whole YAF ministry followed these two deacons and they packed up and they left completely. Do you know that? So if we do not take care of the fellowship groups, do not put proper God leaders inside. We don't want to repeat that history. And there are many more. the lawsuit, Lim Seng Hu, what he did to us, the battle of the verbal plenary preservation, perfect Bible, many, our Mandarin brethren, the split, you get a wrong pastor, you get a wrong leader inside the leadership, the church will suffer grievously, far more worse than enemies from outside. The younger generation did not know about Dathan and Abiram, but you guys do. You have seen it. And they were fathers, they were sons and daughters, and they all died because of disobedience. We don't want to see any of our young people create problems whereby they have to be disciplined, and then they will have to leave the church and their spiritual life becomes wayward and a derelict. We don't want to see that happen. Nobody does, because they are genuine people, men, women, children. We don't want to see anyone become a victim of the evil one. How will they be kept safe if the adults, you, will not share with them and tell them the struggles and the battles that we have to fight? The church is not a playground. It's a dangerous place. And the more you want to be God-honoring, the more Satan will disturb and undermine and attack and disturb and destroy the church. You must know this. And that is why the adults, you must be the heartbeat and the leader of the church to rise to the occasion, not to be in session members. You don't have to be in session to have been a title before you lead. Where you are, as you are, simply because you are an adult. Be a godly adult so that the young people can look at your life, the life of your family. They look at you as a person that you love the Lord your God. And you keep His word always. And share with them what you have seen in your life, the battles and the problems that God has done in your life, the battles, the greatness and the power of God, how He has delivered, how He has helped. All we need to do is to obey and be faithful. That's what Moses wanted the adults to tell them. That's the charge. And I hope that you will realize that you will do the same. Don't just be contented by us meeting together as adults. Have a big picture perspective. We are just one segment of the entire church. And look at the younger generation. The older generation, you can encourage them because one day you're going to be there, right? And when you are there in the senior AF, and then beyond the senior AF will be the golden years. Well, then you are really knocking on you know what door already. Isn't it? Then you really, really got a lot of responsibility to share with us. So the golden years share with us adults because they are there. They have children who are already married and with grandchildren. Many of these younger adults like yourself, you may have young children and your children are growing up. So the struggles that they have experienced, you are going through. But what you have gone through, the young adults and the teens and the younger people, they are struggling. You see the whole spectrum and how you fit in, because if you fail, this will fail. Don't let this church have this void. Old people, grandchildren, blank. Because if you and I do not do our part, and the young adults, they become worldly, and then they stray away, that will be the blank. You realize that? It happened to many churches. Don't think it will not happen to our church in Pandan, God's church in Pandan. If you and I fail, the blank will appear. And with this blank, this will disappear from the scene because they are going to die. Who will now move up and fill in the gap? Because there's a blank now. They are too young to be leaders. They can't be leaders. You can't get a 25-year-old to be an elder or become a leader. They don't have the experience. Don't let the blank happen because of us. You want to serve the Lord? Be prepared for battle. Satan will hate you. You are not doing anything. You are slumbering. Satan will pat you on the back and say, "Carry on, my friend." Which one do you want? The Lord is rousing you out of your slumber. But the moment you are roused up and you are now hearing the battle cry to fight the good fight of faith as adults, to do so much for the younger ones, the charge. Then be prepared. The enemies will come. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Not the younger ones. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for salvation, grace that you have given to us in our lives, and for the many, many years that you have watched over us and the many experiences that we have. Help us to realize that after all these many years of experiences with thee, you have allowed us to remain on earth for a time such as this. We thank thee, Lord, for this church and for the many younger ones whom you have brought into this church. Help us as the adults to be exemplary in our conduct and in our lives, to share with these young adults and the younger ones how they too can find victory in Christ Jesus, with the charge that Moses gave to the adults before the conquest of the promised land. We too have much to do with this charge before all of us arrive home at the promised land. May we be found faithful, especially as adults, that the younger ones will be able to see Christ in all of us. Bless the Pro Tem Committee with wisdom, with unity, and with the heart of Christ, that they may give of their very best unto thee for thy glory and for the blessing of all the adults in this church and more. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.